That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and happy July 6th. It has rolled around again, and here it is, Saturday morning. It's time for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Maybe just the Radio Ranch. Got Kyle and Richard here this morning. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And got to keep Jason in your prayers. He's picked up a little bug. I talked to him a little yesterday, and he was all congested. So we'll do that this morning. We'll pray for him. But just keep him in your prayers. He was going to try to rest up this morning a little bit. He's just fighting off a little bug. And John's on another short trip with the family was doing some things this morning with them. And so we'll open up the phone lines early and let all the remnant out there that want to call in and talk this morning on coffee. We'll sure do our best to get you on the air. But we are here at the Radio Ranch Live. It's this first Saturday in July, and it's a beautiful day at the Radio Ranch. We had just short of a flash flood yesterday, and I bet we had a half inch of rain. Good. There's still puddles of water out in the yard, so that's a good thing. And surely our cup runs over with the blessings that God pours out upon us. But, Kyle, would you open us up in prayer this morning?
I will. Oh, God, my Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we have this opportunity to gather in your name, the blessed holy name, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the Son who died on the cross for us. Again, there's so many things to be thankful for. We ask that you send an extra dose of your Holy Spirit down, an extra measure, so to speak. Lord, put your thoughts in our hearts and in our minds even more today than yesterday. Lord, we ask you to watch over us, guide and protect us, to lead us in your ways, not only physically, but spiritually, Lord, let us walk not according to the flesh. Help us walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Lord, put your laws even deeper, engraved even more on our minds and hearts, Lord. The mark, as me and Richard were talking before the show started, the mark of God on our minds and hearts and our hands, Lord, so that we can have faith, true faith with works. We ask you to be with the remnant out there. Lord, as I'll probably read in Ezekiel today, this morning, Lord, I know it's not for us, but it's for you, so that your holy name, Lord, will be proclaimed. But we ask for you to be with all of us, be with our families, watch over us as we start tomorrow another week. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we do bring Jason up to you, Lord,
yes,
for health and healing. Lord, let him just have a good, restful, a restful day today, O Lord, as much as possible. And let your Holy Spirit, your healing, just flow down upon him, Father. He works for you. And it's our wish, Lord, your health and healing to be upon him. Be with John and his family as they're away from home. Let your blessings be on them. And Lord, as Kyle prayed, we do lift the remnant up to you, Father. Guide them, direct them. Let them see that you are in control and that you do protect and you do guide and direct your remnant down the path that you have set before them. So let us all, let us, your remnant, Lord, willingly go down that path. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In
Ezekiel 36...
Well, you went to the back of Ezekiel. I'm up here in the front of it.
In Ezekiel 36, verse 22 and 32, read, because something caught my eye last night when I was reading it. It says, "Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went." And then in 32 it says, "I am doing this for your sake," declares, "Oh, I am not doing this for your sake," declares the Lord God. "Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel." God is going to act. He's going to do something great. But we need to understand it's not for our sake. It's for his. It's for his holy name that we have profaned as a people for years. Not just the scattering of the original house of Israel, but even after he gave us this land, you know, this America, the new promised land, we did it again. We profaned his name across all the nations. Watch a TV show. Watch a movie. Just listen to people. When they hit themselves with a hammer on the job, what do? They profane the name of God. Mm-hmm. And it's been profaned continually and more as times went on. Anyway, it caught my attention a couple times last night where it's not for us, but it's for him. And we need to understand that. God doesn't need us. We need him. What do you think of that?
Man, I think that's a good place to start this morning. It is so very true that it's not for our sake. I like what you said there. It's not, he doesn't need us, but he desires us.
Yeah.
He wants us, and he loves us. And again, we're made in his image. And, you know, his desire for us is like our desire for our children. We want them to be blessed. We want them to be happy and healthy. And as parents, we're a little better experienced than they are. We've kind of been through it. Some of those, at least, if not the whole school of Hard Knocks,
yeah,
some of the classes. and some extra credit sometimes. And, you know, but, and so we do our best to try to get that into our children's heads. And,
I think that'd be more called detention.
Yeah, well, you know, I was going to present it as a class, but yeah, detention in the school of hard knocks for sure. And being that we're made in God's image, you know, the more that I try to grow in His grace and knowledge, the more I see how that relationship is with us as parents, and it's with Him as the Holy Father, as our Heavenly Father, and His desire for us is our desire for our children, you know, to walk in His ways, to be blessed, to have the, you know, who doesn't want their children to have the desires of their heart? It's just got to be His way. God wants and gives us the desires of our heart when they're in line with Him, because He knows that's the best way for us.
Yeah, and in just a proper order. I mean, just whether you want to relate yourself with the Father as the bride, or whether you want to relate yourself to the Father as the Son, sons of God. Either way, you need the Father. He yeah. doesn't need you. Now, He, like Richard said, He wants you. He wanted a bride that was undefiled. I mean, mm-hmm. but, you know, but if He doesn't get it time after time after time, if she keeps going a-whoring after other gods, He'll cut you off, you know. And as far as the sons of God go, just think about it. I think about my relationship with my dad and the times that maybe I had the attitude that he needed me. What a joke. I mean, really, when I think about it, he didn't need me. I needed him. I needed my dad. You know, I mean, yeah, he loved me and he wanted me and everything, but he didn't need me like I needed him. And it's just the order, you know, just, mm-hmm. you know, it's just a godly order. And we get out of order a lot of times, if not physically or something we say, but in our thoughts at least, you know, we think of ourselves too highly.
We do. That pride comes in, and we think, well, we, you know, it's all about me. It's all about me and what I have, you know, to present to the remnant or present to the world, or and it's really not. It's not to be that way anyway. It truly isn't. Well, it's July 6th. We'll open up the phone lines early today. Let me get the buttons pushed. 307-745-5913. And we'll take a couple pinch hitters in here today.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that the term?
Yeah.
Pinch hitter, somebody kind of substitutes in. And, you know, and so if you do want to call in, 307-745-5913. It's kind of a holiday weekend with July 4th being this past Thursday. And
we'll do it like the church league softball guys do it. You see, in the major leagues, if you get pinch hitted for, you're out of the game. So we'll do it like the church league softball games do it. You know, we can just go in and out whenever we feel like it.
Okay, just make substitutions. Make substitutions. We can do that. We do have our good coffee here, though, and you know, I opened up to the beginning of Ezekiel here this morning, and mentioned a scripture verse to Kyle, and it's Ezekiel 9. And you know, Ezekiel's full of visions, and this one is the vision of slaughter. And you know, the Bible tells us that all scripture is good for us. You know, and I try to convey that to people when I talk to them today, that you know, all your experiences are good for you. And the things that we see, sometimes it's a good experience. Sometimes something happens and we're like, oh, we see someone else or something happening and you desire that I wish I was more disciplined in reading the word like the pastor was, you know, or you see something and it's like, ooh, I don't want to be like that type thing. And so any and every experience is good. Every scripture is good for us. Let's try the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, Calvin.
I'm here. I'm finishing up my oatmeal listening to you guys, and I'm ready to go down and get that other cup of coffee there.
Cal, let me just pour it for you right now. Here you go.
Okay.
See what you think of that.
That's good some stuff from San Francisco right. Beach, boy. I'll tell you, I'll keep it, boy. Is it yummy?
There's some cowboy coffee for you right there. That's some good stuff for you. So
good. I just wanted to bring up, I was doing some reading this morning in my devotions on Farrar Fenton. And so I went back to the introduction of how he came about to do that translation, that transcription of the Holy Bible. And I thought, man, oh, man, that man had some ability. The natural intelligence of the men that were around him that taught him in university there in Germany, Professor Baer. And then he made reference to Napoleon Bonaparte and how in a godly society, a God-fearing or a faithful society, how brilliant that society would be. But as soon as they lose faith or following God, that they're headed for destruction, i.e., look at the British Empire. And it's amazing, amazing how God has designed this way, an order in the home to the family is the secret of all of civilization. If we keep that order, wow, we're home free, as long as we trust the Lord. But it's that family unit, divide and conquer. Satan has sure worked its magic on us, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He has.
It's evil.
He
and
has.
So I just would like to put out the remnant, if you can afford it, get a copy of Farrar Fenton. And like every book, you should also start at the beginning with the introduction. How did the guy who or gal decided to write it and why they did? Because when he made reference to Napoleon Bonaparte's testimony, I think very few people realize how God-fearing and what a believer Napoleon Bonaparte was. And his testimony must last pretty close to 7 pages in that wonderful work that A.C. Abbott did of his life and the times in 4 volumes that I happen to have a copy of. My brother Don there in Colorado does too. And I'm so thankful for the witnesses that God has left to the redeeming blood of his son, Jesus, and the love he has for each one of us. And that's reason enough for me to be a believer. I need somebody who is higher than I, and we all have to worship, and we might as well worship the God of creation and his son, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Good point. We might as well. I mean, isn't that crazy that we have to say that, not only
yes.
to ourselves, but everybody is. We might as well worship the right one. You know.
Absolutely.
Well, and that's nothing new. You think, you know, I think about Paul. It was Paul in his travels that, you know, came upon the temple to the unknown God. You know,
yes.
they covered all the bases back then, and, yeah. you know, many times we do that today.
Yes, and he said, we look through a glass darkly, but boy, we're waiting for the revelation of his dear son and put all this creation back in order. What a great day that will be. All right, men, thanks for the time to talk to the remnant and say hello to you fellas. And I'm praying for Jason.
Thanks.
I sure hope he gets better.
I'm sure he will.
In due time, you know, and quickly is what
yes.
I meant to say. I know he'll be better. Okay, man. Thanks again.
Thanks, Calvin.
Thanks, Calvin.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Good to hear from Cal. Hey, and you know him talking about the family being the bedrock. And then you see how our nation has been. And for, you know, from the time that is why, many people don't realize, but that is why the pilgrims came to America. You know, we hear Columbus, you know, in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, we learn in school. But the pilgrims, they did. They suffered religious persecution in England. And so they traveled around the European continent. They settled in Holland, and they didn't receive any more religious persecution. And Holland was a beautiful place, but even then, you're talking the 1600s, the reason that the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak, and I've read it in several of the older history books, was that the pilgrims, they could not keep their children in the faith. Even in the 1600s, they were losing their children, you know, in Holland, just to what was then the world.
versus would be nothing compared to today.
It would probably be similar to a, yeah, we lost the child to a Puritan lifestyle instead of.
Right.
It really would be. And you know, the family is addressed in the Bible. It has been a bedrock part of our civilization here in this country. And we see that it's not that way anymore. You know, not trying to picture the Norman Rockwell family gathered around the turkey on Thanksgiving, but just the semblance of family. You know, part of that family, the one of the bedrocks is the proper order, that Christ is the head. And that has been undermined and done away with. And then the next line of order is that the husband is to be under Christ, but he is to be the head of the home, under Christ's authority and you know, ruling with Christ. Our society's done away with that. And then it's the women and the children. But our Bible foretells that. It tells how the women and children will rule over us.
It does.
And as a people, we've seen that happen. We see that happen. And the people just yawn and roll over and just go about their daily business. Well, again, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. Started out here in Ezekiel 9, and it kind of talks about branding. We're going to be branding here at the Radio Ranch in a couple of weeks, here at the end of July. And that's where we go out and we put the ranch brand on the new cattle, on the new calves, the new steers, and the new heifers that were born just a couple months ago, up until about a month ago. And, you know, that brand shows that they belong to the ranch. It shows whose they are. And Ezekiel 9 talks about a brand that we are to have if we are his. It talks about a brand that we must have. You had to have it back then to escape being slaughtered by God. And it's in Ezekiel 9. And it's right here, and I think it's verse 3, verse 4. The Lord said to him, "Go through the midst of the city, even through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the abominations which are being committed in its midst." And I can't help but think that what if that happened? What if that happened tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.? You know, what if God sends his angels? And here it was, you know, it was, it says, starting in verse 1, "Then he cried out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, 'Draw near, O executioners of the city, each with his destroying weapon in his hand.' And behold, six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his shattering weapon in his hand. And among them was a certain man clothed in linen and a writing case at his loins." Wonder who that was. Recording. Look, kind of a writing case. Reminds me of the Book of Life.
It does.
So I just wonder, you know, because this, and I don't know if this is going to happen again, but what if this happened? What if it happened today? What if it happened tomorrow morning? What if God commanded these six, and they don't call them angels here, they call them executioners of the city, but I think that's what they were. They were angels. I think so anyway. "Go through the midst of the city, even through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the abominations which are being committed in its midst. But to the others, he said in my hearing, go through the city after him and strike, and do not let your eye have pity, and do not spare." As a people, we do not sigh and groan over the abominations anymore. And even though we're told not to fret, we're told not to worry, we should have that. You know, and we have people that call in and share this with us occasionally. You feel that groaning in the spirit. And I think that that applies here, that that's what that is, that groaning in the spirit, that crying out to God that says, oh God, this is not, we know this is not the way things are supposed to be. But it goes on and says, utterly slay old men, young men, maidens, little children and women, but do not touch any man on whom is the mark, and you shall start from my sanctuary. And they did. And when the disobedience today, when the judgment comes today, doesn't it start at the house of God?
It does. And you know, and then you can jump up to the book of Revelations. I think 7:2 is a good place. It means you started there in Ezekiel 9:4. 7:2 says, and I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God, and he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads. You know, and this comes, what, 2 or 3 verses at the end of chapter 6, maybe three verses where the people are crying with a loud voice for the rocks to fall on them because, well, it's going to be a hell of a time.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They even say, for the great day of the wrath has come, yeah. The wrath of the Lamb.
Yeah.
The wrath of the Lamb? Well, we've heard of the wrath of God, but the wrath of the little Lamb, the little Lamb of God has wrath? You bet your boots he does. Anyway, didn't mean to interrupt you there,
Kyle. No problem at all. You know, and then it goes into the 144,000. Of course, we've all heard many, many interpretations of the 144,000. Here's my interpretation. It sounds like, if you go back to the Gospels and read about the marriage feast and other things, it sounds like to me that there's going to be several comings of Jesus Christ. There's going to be several different degrees and periods of tribulation. Mm-hmm. It calls the 144,000, I don't know if it calls it right here in 7, but somewhere in here it calls them the first fruits. I think they're the first 12,000, it happens to be, of every tribe. Now, the question in my mind is some of them in the grave? Are all of them in the grave? Are some of them living? Are all of them... It kind of appears like they're living on the earth at this time because the people around them are living, who is crying for the rocks to fall on them.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be said here, but my whole point is it's the first fruits of the second coming, the first part of his coming. And first fruits to me means 10%. Now, is that 10% of all those is going to be saved, which would only be, what, 1,440,000 people? You know, I don't know. It's just a thought. But it's like the whole point, though, of the thing is to have that brand that you were talking about, that you started out talking about, the brand of God that protects you from death, from the wrath of God. You can watch all kinds of weird movies out there. Scientific movies, and they all avoid the cure. There'll be this cure and that cure and this, but there's always a cure to these big diseases or these big zombie attacks or these alien
attacks. Coming, no matter what it is,
there's always a cure, and that's Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The blood of Christ. And they could make a great movie where, there's a bunch of people over here in this certain area who aren't being harmed. What's the key? You know, and then they can go, you know, like National Treasure. Remember those movies where mm-hmm. they go back in these books and they're trying to find out all these maps and all these things, you know. Well, they could go back in the history book that we got, the big one, yeah. And they could find out the cure, and they can find out how are you not affected by these aliens,
yes.
or these zombies or whatever. I mean, they could make a great movie where where, I mean, they would have writings in every paper across the world about it. It could be the talk of everything. And the whole key could be the contacting of the blood of Christ, which protects you. You know, that makes the wrath of God go over your head. Makes the zombies walk right by you like you're not even there, you know. Mm-hmm. They won't bite you, you know, and make them one of theirs, you know. I mean, there's all kinds of things, and they have it right here, but they'll never tell that story. As many movie tickets as it would sell, and as much talk as they could get, they'll never tell that story because they don't want people to have the mark of God.
Yeah, they don't. It says it again in the next chapter of Revelation as well. It just repeats it as a second witness. I just turned the page here. But in Revelation 9:4, it says the same thing. They were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And so you do have to have that brand. No, you don't have to be like the Marines do and have a and like we do with the cattle, where you have a hot poker seared into your flesh. That's not what we're talking about here. But we're talking about having repented, having read this word, having maybe not all of it, but having believed the word, and having realized that we do need him, as Cal said earlier. And that we are lost without him, without Jesus Christ. No, not without Allah, not without Buddha. Those are just some bones in a grave somewhere. That's all those are. No matter what the other people think, they're just bones in a grave. But realizing and repenting, and yes, as the Judeo-Christian church world says, accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Maybe a better term would be recognizing. Because really the thing we should be concerned about is not us accepting him, but him accepting us. And just as God Almighty required in the Old Testament and still requires today, blood. A blood sacrifice to forgive sins. I need to memorize where that is. I know it's here but I always have to look it up where it says, you know, without the shedding of blood,
in Hebrews.
There is no forgiveness of sins.
Yeah.
Well, no, we don't have to go out and kill a turtle dove or a four-legged woolly sheep or lamb today, because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he died once and for all to take the sins of the world. But we have to contact that blood. That blood was poured out on the altar in the Old Testament, and it flowed down the cross at Calvary. And if we just look upon it, that's a step, but we have to contact it. And we contact that blood when we are buried with him in baptism. And I think it's in Galatians it talks about that if we will do that, that we will, maybe it's not, I know in Galatians it's for all of you who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. And that's Galatians 3:27. And we do have to be clothed with him. It's as simple as that. It's like you said, you have to have, that is that mark, you know, to be clothed in white with him. And you don't get it just by, oh yeah, I believe. Okay, well, Jesus came to die. Okay, well, I believe him now.
No, because part of the mark is what the new covenant is all about, and that's putting the laws of God on your heart and on your mind. And if you've received that mark, that seal, and you have the laws of God on your heart and your mind, then you're going to walk in the Spirit. Right. That's what it leads to.
You know, that brings an interesting point. We've talked so many times about how, well, the remnant today, the remnant, or his people today, well, they're the Anglo-Saxon people. They have his law on their heart. They have his law on their heart. Well, they may, but their heart is so hard-hearted and crusted over that it'd be like trying to get through this oak table to get to what's underneath. Well, there's the law. It's right there. It's only an inch deep, but you can't get through that inch of steel or oak, that hard-heartedness. that
well, the Apostle is all Paul around is our... the perfect example of that.
Yeah.
I mean, he had such a hard heart that he was killing Christians for committing blasphemy. And was it because he was one of them and not one of us? Oh, absolutely not. He was one of us. He was from the tribe of Benjamin.
Yeah.
He was a Judahite. I mean, you know, but he had a hard heart until what? Until God called him.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's the way we are. You know, we, you know, it's funny. You run into people here and there, you know, and they'll, their big thing will be whatever it is, the Sabbath day, or I mean, they'll have this big thing, you know, where, well, if you're not doing this, you're not one of God's, you know, and it's like you're hard-hearted, you know. I mean, I'm doing this on this day. I mean, nobody's got it all figured out,
right?
You know?
Exactly.
Obviously, the Pharisees thought they had it all.
They
figured
thought they
out,
did,
you know, and it was hard-heartedness, you know. Yeah, some of them were snakes. Some of them were of their father, the devil, mm-hmm. you know, but some of them weren't.
Oh, we read in there that, yeah. it, you know, there were times that the Pharisees believed, like Saul, yeah. who became Paul. There were those.
Yeah. And you touched on it. You didn't really comment too much on it a while ago. You said repent. And repentance has so much to do with it. Because when you are being pulled by God, dragged, drawn, however you want to put it, repentance comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't, you know, well...
Well, I think that goes back to those experiences that we get in life. And everything can be, you know, is given to us, just like all Scripture is given to us as an example and for exhorting and for learning. I think our experiences in life are. And if you haven't repented and been baptized yet, the experiences in life, I think you talked about it. I think you had some notes on it about it. That's that fertilizer.
Yeah.
That should motivate you, get you growing, get you back on track with Him.
Yeah, we call it crap, but I'll read. I'm right here. It's in Luke 13.
Okay.
And you know, like Richard said, it's your everyday life, the school of hard knocks, or maybe even just your brother or your friend. Maybe the school of hard knocks for them should be a learning experience for us. And in Luke chapter 13, I'll just read 1 through 9. It tells what Richard was just talking about. It says, "Now on the same occasion there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who lived in Jerusalem?' Again, Jesus said, 'I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.' And he began telling this parable, and a man had a fig tree which had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit, and he did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, 'Behold, for these 3 years I have come looking for the fruit on this fig tree, without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground?' And he answered and said to him, 'Let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine, but if not, cut it down.'" I mean, and that's the whole point of the trials and tribulations and the baptism of fire that you talked about the mm-hmm. last week, I think it was. That's the whole point of that. That's our fertilizer. We call it crap, or we call it things we shouldn't call it.
And we literally do.
Yeah.
How many times do you have people say, "I got so much crap in my life.
I ain't going to take this crap." Well, it's for our benefit. It's so we'll bear fruit.
Yes.
But if we don't, if we look at it like it's just a bunch of crap and we don't want to put up with it anymore, guess what? You're going to be cut off and thrown into the fire. You know, this is for our example, our learning, our instruction. Just like, you know, if Jesus himself, the Master, the King of Kings, gets baptized by John, receives the gift of the Holy Spirit as a dove, and has to go in the wilderness and be tempted by the devil, who are we to say, well, I don't want that. I don't want to do that. I ain't going to put up with that, you know. I mean, that's ridiculous.
It is. It is. But it's the attitude that so many, that our people have today. Seek pleasure.
Avoid pain.
Avoid pain. So that's a guy who used to be from Montana, now Arizona, right?
Yes.
Guy from Arizona saying. And he's been around the block a few times. And we bring it up every now and then that's a good summary. That's what our people do. And, you know, when it says in here, when Kyle read Luke 13, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And understand that applies to everybody. That applied to Pastor Peters. When he came to this truth, midnight, he went and got baptized, him and his wife. At midnight. Don't wait till tomorrow. He knew he had preached from the Scriptures. He knew that we're not guaranteed tomorrow. But he knew he could guarantee himself life eternal by obeying the Word. And he did. And this, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. There in verse 3, 13:3, that applies to me. It applies to Kyle. It applies to you out there. It applies to each and every one of us. It does.
So when we see something like what happened in Oklahoma, in the town of Moore, when we see something like that, don't think to yourself, well, what did they do wrong?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the nature of the people, you know. Well, what did they do wrong, or what? Or also go against God and, you know, say, well, Mother Nature. No, these are all warnings for us. He's given us a chance to repent.
Yeah,
because that could happen to me the next day.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5919.
Maybe Calvin's the only one listening.
1-3, Calvin must be the only one up this morning. Appreciate Calvin calling in. And we got another pot of coffee on and everything. And so, it's not that there's nothing to talk about. It's just, you know, chesty puller surrounded by the enemy. We got them right where we want it. We pull the trigger and we get them. And it's just like, where do you go from here?
We are surrounded by the enemy. And guess what? If you look in the mirror, sometimes that's the worst one.
Yeah.
Because we deceive ourselves.
Yeah. Yep. You know, right over across the page in Luke 12, I've got it highlighted. Do not worry about your life there in Luke 6, 22. And backing it up to the beginning of that, it says, and he said to his disciples, for this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. And then he goes in and talks about the birds, the ravens, and the lilies, and the grass. And he comes down in the end of verse 28, you men of little faith. And that's to his disciples. And we have to remember that we have to continue to do what we can do to read the Word, to study the Word, to listen to the Word being read, to listen to sermons. Because if Jesus Christ, when he walked on this earth, and he looks at his disciples who had walked with him for, you know, more than a year now, and he looked at them and said, "You men of little faith, how much more so us?" You know, again, it's that man that we see in the mirror.
It is,
and we have these scriptures for us to read and say, "Well, you know, why didn't they have faith? Why did he say, you know, we have a greater benefit today, I think, than those disciples that were standing with Christ when he said this?"
Obviously, because Jesus went to the Father.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. And we can go back, and now we are in that new covenant, and we can go back and read this and see, well, why did they have little faith? He goes on and says, and do not seek what you will eat and what you'll drink, and do not keep worrying, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. That's one reason that they had little faith, because they were worried about, what are we going to eat today? And are we out of coffee? Oh, my, we're out of Don't worry about those things. Those are not the things to worry about. He said that, do not worry about your life. But your Father knows that you need these things. Now, we've seen in the many years we've been here on the ministry, we've seen people take this to the wrong extreme, sit on their butt and expect God or somebody else to provide everything for them. And that's not the way, that's not the intent here, not at all. In verse 31 of Luke 12, "But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom." And then in verse 34, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And, you know, to me, that increases my faith to where I can say, you know, not that I could hold a candle to the 3-day-old shadow of one of the disciples, but where they were lacking in faith, maybe I can read that, and if I can apply that to seek his kingdom first, then I can increase my faith and not fall into that category or be said to, you know, you men of little faith. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning.
Richard, it's Cal again.
Hey, Cal, you are the only one awake. Good morning.
That's all right. I have a little more to add here. John 16:13, speaking of the gift of the Holy Spirit, that you all who would be repent and turn around and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins and thereby being given the gift of the Holy Spirit. John 16:13 says, mm-hmm. "But when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come." What a great promise that is.
Amen.
What a wonderful. Amen. And boy, I'll tell you, I can be a witness to that. The whole world opened up to me when I came out of those baptismal waters that Sunday night. It was wonderful, because then when I read the Word of God, then it started to have some understanding was coming upon me.
Yeah.
What seemed to be hidden before.
It is hidden. It is hidden because those that don't want to know the truth for the truth's sake, to glorify God like you started out, they want to know it. Those that want to know it for themselves, they're not going to get it. They're not going to, you know, because it's for them, for their own selves, instead of to glorify him. This next verse goes on and it says, "He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you.
And give it to you," right.
Yeah. And you know, he described himself that way. You know, he describes the Spirit here. The Spirit of truth comes. He will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Didn't Christ describe himself that way?
Yes.
Didn't he say that he had to do the Father's will? He said, it's
Absolutely.
Not my will, but the Father's will.
I don't do anything on my own, but what I saw my Father do or what I heard
Yes.
him say.
Yes.
But what's interesting, when you guys were talking about there would be no remission of sins without the blood, it goes all the way back, I do believe, this is only conjecture on my part, to the Garden of Eden when God came down and found Adam and Eve hiding with fig leaves or whatever it was, covering them up.
Right.
And apparently God slayed a lamb and clothed them with the proper clothing, but blood had to be shed for the covering of sin. Isn't that amazing when you think about it? Now, this, I don't know where I picked it up. It's somewhere in my studies. That's where I came up with that understanding.
I think it's a
because
good understanding.
Because it does mention from the righteous blood of Abel all the way to now, I think, in the New Testament, showing how blood is the thing that is the thing that has to be shed, which Christ was pointing to Christ in his
Yes.
death on the cross.
That's
Yes.
why. That's why, you know, both covenants were of blood, the old and the new. But that's why it says we're under a better covenant with better
Right.
promises, because that blood that even that God killed to cover them up with to Adam and Eve, and even the blood of goats and doves, all those things, calves, you know, all that blood could only do it temporarily.
That's
you know?
Correct. That is correct.
But the blood that we receive in the new covenant, that's forever.
Forever.
Yes,
forever and
the life of the soul
ever.
Resides in the blood. So God wanted to make blood so repulsive or astounding to us humans that we gave it gave understanding to us, I think.
Yeah.
That when you shed blood, you are causing some life to ebb and go out. So somebody's laid down their life for you and points to Christ and his greatest gift to us.
And our enemy mocks it. You know, our enemy mocks it continually. They do. The blood means nothing to them. They pour it out in buckets and love to do so.
That's amazing.
Well, Cal, thanks so much, brother.
You bet. Bye.
All right. We'll try another caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, Wranglers. Timmy from Maine. Got a report from the Bangor area. I gave Doug Nelson this last night. God isn't mocked. About a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, the queers were having a Pride Fest in downtown Bangor on their Independence Day parade in downtown Bangor on a nearby side street. Some shots rang out. This man went nuts. The parade had to take a detour down a side street, and tragedy ensued. 63-year-old man fell off an old John Deere tractor. He was run over by an old fire truck. Of course, I don't relish in the tragedies, but God isn't mocked. It was just a chaotic scene. I was gone that day. Just absolute chaos and tragedy down there. Shots being fired.
Yeah, you know, Tim, we've had reports of that all over. I saw some news reports before the 4th that there were many cities in the Northeast and even in the upper Midwest that had canceled, you know, anything and everything to do with the 4th of July celebration because of the chaos that had happened last year. The riots, the gunfire, you know, the crime in the streets, the lawlessness. And so they just canceled. Many cities did. And you're right, God is not mocked. He's not.
He's not. At the same time was the Fish concert, too, and Fishers replaced the Grateful Dead, and there's a bigger cult following with them, too. Yeah. And I'm going to try to do more on. I had to do deliveries down in the coast. I had to pass through extremely liberal Camden, where Peyton Place was filmed and based. And I'll tell you, God's going to hit Maine really hard. I mean, it's nice and pretty on the outside, but I'll tell you, rotten and decrepit on the inside.
Yeah. Yep. John 15, every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And so you're right, it will. Well, Tim, thanks so much. Have a good weekend.
God bless you, brothers.
All right.
Bye.
And we've still got a few minutes left. Phones are ringing. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, Richard. This is Carl Baltz from Pennsylvania. Just wanted to let
morning,
you know
Carl.
Calvin's not the only one awake over here.
Oh, yeah, we know, Carl. Here, let me pour you a cup real quick. There
you
go.
Yeah, that was interesting. He was talking about receiving the Holy Spirit and after being baptized, because I could give you testimony. Like, when I got baptized, I remember after the fact that where I was, and I've never heard the audible voice of God, but I was sitting in my Durango in my brother's driveway, and I said, Lord, you know, hey, I've felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. I've been inundated with the presence, but have I received the Holy Spirit? And right then, as soon as I asked that, he said, you're understanding scriptures you never understood before, aren't you? And I said, yeah. And he said, duh. And I said, wow.
Exactly. Exactly, Carl.
And that's kind of the way it works.
Yeah.
Once you get baptized, things start opening up to you.
Absolutely.
Anyways, hey, it's good to hear you guys and appreciate it. Just wanted to chime in here a little bit.
Thanks, Carl. Yeah, very good point. Very good. Well, thanks so much. You have a great week.
All right, be good. See you.
All right.
Bye.
You know, as you know, the difference between, you know, you were talking about faith and the disciples earlier. Well, they had way more faith after the Comforter came back. You know,
yeah.
They didn't walk as the fleshly natured men they walked like before, you know, and
right.
That's what Carl,
exactly.
You know, there's even before the complete ascension to the Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, after he died, after they seen him again, one of the visits, he breathed on them the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And that was nothing compared to what they received
on the day of Pentecost.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, and so there's different measures of of the Spirit. And there, lots of people say, well, are you going to tell me that, you know, the Holy Spirit hasn't worked with me? No, absolutely not. The Holy Spirit can work with whoever it wants to work with at whatever time it wants to work with.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a difference between being upon you and helping you and maybe even guiding you or being in you. You know, and that's what happened after Christ rose and went to be at the right, sit at the right hand of God. Then those that are baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, it indwells in them. And there's such a difference. There's such a difference if you read about Peter before and after the indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You know, anyway, just thought I'd throw that out.
Yeah, very good point. It is. It is. It's, and they were able to, even though they walked with him, up to a certain point, they walked in the flesh.
Absolutely.
And after him,
that's why Peter denied.
Right.
I mean, because he didn't have that yet. You know.
But later he did.
Yeah.
Later he did. And,
yeah,
and
later
Paul
he's
was
saying,
the same way.
It's for us to obey God, not man. Well, he wasn't doing that when Jesus was being crucified.
Mm-hmm. You know? And that's a good example for us as well to see that, you know, the growth that he had, that he moved from the physical man following Christ to the spiritual man following Christ. And you know, that's a good, I think that's a good example that you know, for us that we have to grow in that same way. Well, we're almost out of time. This is July 6th. Want to invite you to church tomorrow. We always try to do that on Saturday. You don't have to drive all the way to La Porte, Colorado. You know, if you do live in Oklahoma, that's kind of a haul, or anywhere else, really. It's a haul from here. But we invite you to church tomorrow morning. Just go to the website, scripturesforamerica.org. Scripturesforamerica.org. And when you go there, at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, Mountain Time, 11 Central and noon on the East Coast, in the upper left-hand corner of the website, you'll see, click here for live audio stream. Now, that works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because we always have audio there. But right below it, it says, click here for live video stream. You only get that 2 hours a week. And so we encourage you to come there tomorrow morning. Again, 10 o'clock Mountain, 11 Central, and noon on the East Coast for the church services, the live church services from the La Porte Church of Christ. And I mentioned to Kyle yesterday that, you know, I remember the pastor saying that in the Sunday school class. I only get you 2 hours a week. The world has you the rest of the time. And, you know, let's practice giving him 2 hours a week, giving our Lord and Savior. So we've got just a minute. One more caller. Good morning, coffee. We're just, or good morning, caller. We're almost out of coffee. How you doing?
Good morning, coffee.
Good morning, coffee is what it is.
You sound like you need some more coffee.
Yeah, I could always use some. Hey, we just got
Terry
a minute.
From Toronto.
Hey, good morning, Terry.
So, things are coming together better on this front.
Amen.
But in the, they have these free papers they hand out on the subways and so on here. And they're doing a real big write-up because apparently Toronto is going to be the center of the great Pride World Festival.
Oh, lucky you.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like a good time to
not just get out of town, but emigrate.
Yeah, sounds like a good time to take a trip to me. But you know, Terry, when you said things are doing a little bit better, you know, when you're at the bottom of the barrel, you can only go up. You know,
advised to read the book of Job, and I did. So
good.
But it was always one of my favorite books because it shows that what's going on behind the scene. And that we actually can counter-petition Satan.
Yeah. Yeah.
May want to have a run at you, but with prayer, he can be stopped.
Right. And we understand that God is still in control. He really is. So.
Amen.
Well, Terry, God bless, brother. You hang in up there in Toronto, okay?
So the article's in the paper here. You want me to drop them in the mail for you?
Sure, that'd be fine.
Okay, talk to you later.
Thanks a lot. Well, Kyle.
Yeah.
By that time.
Yeah. Stay tuned tomorrow. Like Richard said, come to church. There's a review of the news I think it's going to play, and Richard's probably going to talk a little bit about that issue of homosexuality. I think so.
But yeah.
Find out, I guess, if you watch. But
we'll try to. And then tomorrow is July 7th, and that's a 2 years tomorrow when our pastor passed away. So we do invite you to church. Thanks for tuning in, Remnant, and we'll see you tomorrow at church.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, stay high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.